our memory verse? Psalm what?
51. 10 is correct. I'm looking for a volunteer to stand up and quote it. Go right ahead. Hallelujah. Anybody else? How about praying for us, Brother R.C.?
Yeah.
You? Amen. Thank you.
The song I'm going to sing is I Still Trust You, Lord. And we've got to trust the Lord in all things, not just when things are going our way. And I go back to when Philip had his wreck. And that night, me and Mark were talking, and I said, well, we either trust God or we don't.
That's right.
So we decided we was going to trust him for all things. No matter what would have happened, we was going to trust him. I still trust the Lord today. Do y'all trust him?
Yes.
He always knows what's best. We might not see things clearly sometimes, but he always knows what's best. So I'm going to sing this song, I Still Trust You, Lord.
I've seen the righteous man suffer again when it looked like the wicked would go free. And in my frustrations, it just didn't seem right to me. Lord, I ask you for sunshine, but you sent me rain. And I cried for healing, but only got pain. But I know I still trust you, Lord.
I'll just trust him.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Remind me, what book are we in? The book of the Revelation. How many revelations are there? One. Who wrote it? God wrote it. Who's it belong to? Jesus is correct. What did God the Father do with it when he wrote it? He gave it to Jesus. That's right. What did he do with it? What did Jesus do with it? Gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? Gave it to John. What did John do with it? He gave it to us. How many themes? Two? Give me one of them. We'll do what? Adore his presence. That's right. What's the other one? Accept his plan is correct. That's great. That's wonderful. Sounds like y'all been coming to class. Now, we started chapter 4, and we've read several verses in it. Let's go down here to about verse 5. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices." Now, what's happening is the storms of the tribulation period are starting up, and we want to look today at a battle during that time. I gave you a handout on it last week. The name of your handout was Prophecy Made Plain in Times Like These, and that's the title of a book by Carl Johnson. Carl Johnson from Beckley, not Carl Johnson from Enon. Carl Johnson from Beckley, and actually it's about Ezekiel 38 and 39. We can go ahead and turn there. And it's about a particular battle. And this is not the Battle of Armageddon. That's over in chapter 16. This battle's early on in the tribulation period. And it could be in chapter 12 or chapter 8, but I really think it starts right here. So let's just go over to Ezekiel and see if we can get started. Now, in the first few verses, it talks about Gog and Magog. And Gog is the prince or the leader or the president. And Magog is the land. That's the place. And some proofs on that, if you need them. During World War II, England received 50,000 lead pencils from Russia, and printed on them was Gog of Magog. And also, if you have a flat map, a globe spread out, Israel is in the center, and all directions in the Bible are like you start at Israel. And Moscow is right on the line between Israel and the North Pole. And we'll see her referred to as the North here later on. And let's read a couple of verses. Maybe we can see that. Ezekiel 38, 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So we can see right up that the Lord is against this and against him, against the land even. And down through here now, our next verses, we're going to see Togarma, T-O-G-A-R-M-A, that's modern-day Turkey, and then Gomer, that's Germany today, and Cush is Ethiopia, and Babylon is Iran, and Tarshish is England, or maybe in this chapter referred to as the line. Let's read a little bit here about that. Let's see, verse 3, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog. Again, we get that right there. The Lord's against this, against thee, and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company of bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the horse of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Excuse me. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go up to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now God said he is against Gog and Magog. This is similar to Psalm 14:1, where it says, The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. I think you find that again in Proverbs 1. He's actually the same thing as saying no God. Don't want to say no to God. Winston Churchill said, You cannot negotiate with them. Speaking of Russia. He said, they're like a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. Rube Goldberg said, drew one of those crazy cartoons years ago of Joseph Stalin. He called him the great upside-down philosopher. He said, top is bottom, black is white, far is near, day is night, big is little, high is low, cold is hot, and yes is no. He said they're insane. They're unanswerable. Can't negotiate with them. Stalin said, We have deposed the czars of the earth, and we shall now dethrone the Lord of heaven. That's crazy right there. When the Russia sent their Sputnik up and went past the moon getting toward the sun, and Stalin said, Our rocket has bypassed the moon. It's nearing the sun, and we have not discovered God. I'll just go ahead and tell you, they didn't go far enough. He said, that's right, they never will. He says, we have turned out the lights in heaven that no man will be able to put on again. We are breaking the yoke of the gospel, the opiate of the masses. Let us go forth, and Christ shall be relegated to mythology. That's crazy. He's crazy. Not only that, he's stupid and ignorant and an unbeliever and an infidel. Anyway, why are all these going to come down against little Israel? I'm glad you asked. Well, this time it's just Russia. Now, and that's one way we know this is not the Battle of Armageddon. In chapter 16, the Battle of Armageddon, East, China's going to come over. And we read it the other day. They're going to come against Israel from the west, south, north, from everywhere then. This is just the north this time. And why are they coming? It's in verse 12. It says to take a spoil and to take a prey. You remember when there's a war, when there's a battle, the victor, to the victor goes the spoils. Whatever left, that's yours. If you win, that's yours. It's the same thing as a prey. And that's why they're coming, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Well, for years, no one knew how rich Israel was, really. She's just now discovering this. Well, now, in the last 50 years. This book here is old. But Israel discovered that around the Dead Sea, in the Dead Sea, there's 45 billion tons of unprocessed chemicals. Just one example is phosphate. They have enough. Phosphate's the one main ingredient in fertilizer. Israel has enough phosphate to fertilize the whole world for several years. And then that's just one chemical. All around then the Dead Sea is 300 square miles of oil-bearing sands. That wasn't that important until Henry Ford invented an automobile, but now everybody's wanting it. She could be and is called the little jewel box. Israel might be the richest country in the world. They also want her because she's the geographic hub of Europe, Asia, and Africa. If you cross on land, you cross through Israel. Also, Russia and Red China would like to destroy the Jew, hoping to wipe out all knowledge of God.
Think about that.
Now, some nations are going to protest about this war. It's in verse 13 here where we quit reading. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? And then God's going to show his wrath, starting in verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, here's Russia from the north, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me. Now, this is the whole purpose of all this, that the heathen may know that God's God, that they may know what Pharaoh figured out at the end of the Ten Commandments, the God of Moses is God. That's what the Lord's wanting to happen. When I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes, thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time, by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord, that my fury shall come up in my face. Then what's going to happen is a great earthquake, starting in 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall. Every wall shall fall to the ground. And then God's sword will be called for in verse 21. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And they're going to be fighting among themselves. And then there's going to be blood. Verse 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence. That's every kind of unnatural death. And with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. There's going to be floods. There's going to be storms, hailstone. It happened in the past, Joshua 10, 11. Now, a couple of Tuesdays ago when we had a storm, I was headed down to Mom's there in the evening. She was just getting out of the hospital, and I come through a hailstorm, and I thought, sure, it broke my windshield out. I even told some people it cracked my windshield. It looked like it, but then the next day I could see it didn't. But this is going to happen. Joshua 10, 11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. The Lord's army has been hornets and lice and the tide and frogs and snow and wind and storm and hail and fire. He controls all of that.
Right.
It's going to happen again during the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 16, 21. Whatever that was that hit my windshield, I know if you'd have been outside, it'd give you a headache. I don't know if it'd kill you for sure, but you'd have a headache. It was loud. Revelation 16, 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Now, I was going on memory, and I thought I knew how much a talent weighed, but I Googled it anyway because I knew you'd want to know. And it's still 75 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good size hailstone.
Yeah,
that one will come through the windshield. That one will knock you out. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Back in Ezekiel 22, there's going to be fire. We already read it. There's going to be hailstone. There's going to be fire. It happened before Exodus chapter 9, verse 23. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And the brimstone. Now, every time I hear the word brimstone, I don't even know if this is right or not, but I just think of lava. Molten rock, hot, boiling rock. It happened in Genesis, right here, 19:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And it's going to happen again, Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Be a good place to say hallelujah right there. Let me read it again. You didn't get that. You missed your chance. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Yes, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. 21 verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now back to Ezekiel. These invaders that come down from the north against little Israel, they're going to be killed. Chapter 39, starting in verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee. 5/6 are going to die. That's the majority, by the way. And will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Then in verse 22, you see the same thing. So the house of Israel shall know. Now here's why all this is happening. Here's why God's fighting for them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, the big Lord, the capital L-O-R-D, their God, from that day and forward. That's the whole purpose. That's the plan. They're going to fall upon the mountains and the fields, these dead people. Verse 5, Ezekiel 39:5. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord. And thou shalt be given to the birds and the beasts. We already read it in verse 4. You see it again in verse 17. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, and ye shall eat flesh and drink blood. And fire will be sent on Russia, verse 6 in 39. And I will send a fire on Magog and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's the purpose. That's the why. Then verse 9 and 10, their weapons will be burned. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and set fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Now this is why Brother Rick thinks this battle happens in chapter 4, because it wouldn't be going on after Armageddon.
Right.
So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. Now, Brother Rick knows, or pretty sure, that those composites will melt and burn. They kind of explained that to me down at the airport. Not really, no. There was a Dutch inventor named T-E-R-A-P-E-L in the Netherlands, and he invented this Ligstone that I guess that's what the composite pistols are made out of. I'm just guessing that. And the Russians are using it for weapons of war and cogs of wheels. It's stronger and has some give in it, and it burns with great heat. Then the invading armies will be buried. Verse 11 in chapter 39. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitudes, and they shall call it the Valley of Hammon Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. This is for God's glory. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land, to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search, and the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hammon Gog, and also the name of the city shall be Hammonath. Thus shall they cleanse the land. Now the whole purpose, again, is that God will be glorified, that He'll get the glory. It says it in 39:7 that we skipped over. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. It's in chapter in verse 13. We already read that. Verse 21. It's in verse 21 to 23. 21, and I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. And you see it again in verses 27 and 28. Remember, that's one of the main purposes of the tribulation period, is to teach Israel and all us unbelievers. 27, and when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. This is how the Lord's going to do it. It's going to be so He'll get the honor and the glory. Well, that's a whole lot of negative. Let's try to have a little bit of positive here now. Back to Revelation chapter 4. Let's check it out. We saw last week in verse 2 and 3, and immediately I was in the Spirit. Can we read verse 1 again? Let's get us back up there. Chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I'll show thee something. I'll show you some things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set and one. Let's look at the one for a little bit. That'd be positive, wouldn't it? One sat on the throne, and he that sat, he. Let's look at he. That'd be positive, wouldn't it? And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Well, let me go ahead and tell you, God's going to be there. God the Father's going to be there. That's going to make it heaven that God's going to be there. Let's look at that again in Daniel 7:9. God the Father's going to be there. Daniel 7, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. That's the little thrones here on earth. We're going to where the big throne is. We already looked at that. The room in there for all of us in the throne. And the Ancient of Days did sit. Ancient of Days, who we're talking about, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Well, when we get there in chapter 4, after the rapture, guess what? God the Father is going to be there. We're going to see God. That's why we get our new body, or we would explode. I have to have my new eyeballs, or I'd blow up when I look at God. He can't take it. That's not all. The Holy Spirit's going to be there. God the Spirit, chapter 14, Revelation 14. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the capital S Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. The Holy Spirit's going to be there. You see it again in chapter 22, verse 17, with the last invitation. And the Spirit, the capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God's going to be there. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But that's not all. God the Father's going to be there. God the Spirit's going to be there. But God the Son's going to be there. Chapter 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the S-U-N. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it. And the capital L, Lamb of God, that John the Baptist saw, is the light thereof. The sun, the S-O-N, is going to be the center of heaven. The light of heaven is the face of Jesus. That's who's going to light the place. That's why we all get there on one day, because He is the light. There is no night there. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. He's going to be there. We're going to be in His presence. Again, I'll need my new body or I will blow up. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The song of heaven, that new song that's never been sung before, that's Jesus. That's the name of Jesus, is the song of heaven. That's who they're singing about. That's why it's so loud. That's why they're shouting, holy, 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 is because Jesus is there. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. What He did on Calvary when He came through Nalum one day and saved my poor wicked soul. We're going to be talking about the work of Jesus and what He did. That's going to be the theme of heaven. The fullness of heaven is going to be the person of Jesus. He's going to be there. The Lord Jesus is going to be there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that You're going to be there, and thank You for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.